Eric Green from The Athletic in Toronto joins us. Welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm all right, Jason. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I had a great stat uncovered to me in a blog yesterday about the Raptors, schedule and travel so far in the season compared to Cleveland. And Cleveland, really, with LeBron James and them sitting out their one game, have yet to play on the road against the Western Conference, which is kind of amazing, as here we are moving into January, and it probably won't happen, I think, until January 8th. When you look at the schedule, do you think there's a chance the Raptors, can catch the Cavaliers?
I'm sort of the belief that the Cavaliers have that extra level that they'll win the one extra game they need to in order to stay in first and keep home court advantage. Of course, that all goes out the window if there is an injury of some sort to one of the Cavs' big three, or obviously the indestructible or seemingly indestructible LeBron James. Saying that, after this trip is done, the Raptors, by far the hardest part of their schedule, will be over, and they're going to come out of it, even if they lose the next three games, which I don't see happening, but even if they do, they're going to come out of it in decent shape and really ready to take a crack at besting the 56 wins they won last year. So I think that they should be shooting, certainly, for that first seed, but they've done pretty well with the most difficult part of their schedule so far.
Last night against the Warriors, the Warriors are almost an all-star team, for goodness sakes. And when their big three score 20 points, no surprise, they're undefeated. How do you match that team? Do you think they're better than the Cleveland Cavaliers right now, the Warriors?
Well, they lost to Cleveland on Christmas Day. So,
on what should have been a foul, the NBA, we can get into that too. I'm
sure.
Not even sure what benefits it does. But.
If you're asking me who I think is going to win the finals, I think the Warriors are the best team, and I'd pick them to win. But I would have said the same thing last year, and the Cavaliers won. So I think they're going to end up being very evenly matched. You saw what was amazing to me last night is the Raptors turned the ball over just 7 times. Obviously that's not very many. I'm not sure what their average is, but teams tend to turn the ball over 14, 15 times a game. And even with that low number of turnovers, just how quickly the Warriors can turn a missed shot into a great look for themselves on the other end is really breathtaking, and it's a testament to the level of shooting they have, but also the intelligence and the willingness to pass and just the overall skill. They've been just as captivating as basketball fans would hope, even, whether you're rooting for them or rooting against them.
Eric Green joins us from The Athletic discussing the NBA and specifically the Raptors. DeMar DeRozan passes Chris Bosh. Excuse me, last night as the all-time leader now.
Yeah.
As the all-time leader in Raptors scoring history. Like Vince Carter obviously was kind of the first great Raptor, the big name Raptor that a lot of people follow. Chris Bosh obviously has had a very good career. Where do you rank DeRozan against those two?
Well, I actually did this sort of mental exercise probably about a month ago at The Athletic. And it was when Memphis was in Toronto, so I was thinking about Vince Carter. And, there's a clear delineation between the four greatest Raptors of all time and everybody else, right? You're looking at Carter, Bosh, Kyle Lowry, and DeMar DeRozan. And right now, DeRozan's probably fourth on my list.
Okay.
Even though, you just have to think, his first 4 years just weren't, he had opportunities and he put up a lot of points in those years, but it was sort of a lot of empty calorie scoring and he wasn't helping those teams win. Whereas in the last 3 years, certainly those teams have won, but I'd argue that, this isn't to diminish DeMar DeRozan's impact on this team at all, but that's as much and probably more to do with how good Kyle Lowry has become over the last 3 years than anything else. So I think right now he's fourth, but this is the first year of a 5-year contract. He's going to put that points lead, you know, way out of reach. Like, I can't even imagine who the next candidate to top him will be. You know, he's just at just more than 10,000 now. By the end of five more years, if he's scoring 1,800 points or whatever a year, he's going to be up at 17,000, 18,000. And if the Raptors continue in the success and DeRozan continues to improve on the fringes, then you're going to have yourself a conversation. But right now, I think I take those other three Raptors careers. I think Vince is pretty clearly number one, and the rest of the three, Lowry, Bosch, and DeRozan, you could sort of put them in any order, and I wouldn't fight you too hard on it. But I think on my personal list, he's fourth right now.
Well, definitely they will be the best tandem for sure with DeRozan and Lowry, and to have the opportunity, you know, to have the most success as a team. There's no doubt about that. So you look at the Raptors now, and I don't see any glaring weaknesses on their team other than the fact that they just don't have LeBron James, right? Like, and it's so there's really not much, I think, else you could do.
29 teams have that issue.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you, like, you look at Toronto and I see them as a, you know, I'd have no problem taking them over Boston or Charlotte or the Knicks or any of the other teams in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, maybe outside of the Spurs and Golden State, like, all those other teams, I think they match up very well against. And they're kind of just, do they have to wait and hope that Lowry and DeRozan can stay this good to when LeBron maybe in 3 or 4 years starts to dip down? Like, is that kind of the negative reality of the Raptors?
Well, I don't think you necessarily have to wait. For one thing, Kyle Lowry turns 31 this year, and I think LeBron in March, and LeBron will be turning 32 either tomorrow or New Year's Eve. I can't remember which day his birthday is. But so it's not like LeBron has logged far more minutes than Kyle Lowry in their careers. But it's not like the Raptors' window is open for a way longer time than Cleveland's. I think there are some things you can do to expedite the process. You can scour the trademark market for, you know, somebody who fits, you know, alongside Lowry and DeRozan right now. And I don't think there's anybody that you're going to get that's going to put you in the position of being a favorite against the a fully healthy Cavaliers team, but you can inch up that percentage, right? From, you know, a 7% chance winning a series to a 20% chance to winning the series. And then Kyrie Irving turns his ankle and all of a sudden maybe you've got a 50-50 shot. And that's the reality of what 28 teams are doing right now, right? Like, we all think it's going to be Cleveland and Golden State. I'd be surprised if it's not at the end in June, and I think we'd all be excited to see that. But that doesn't mean that the next four or five or six best teams who are built to, you know, be at or near their peaks right now should just let that happen. If there's something they can do that increases their chances now and doesn't, you know, sell the future down the river, I think you have to strongly consider that if you're Masai Ujiri. Whether that presents itself or not is another question entirely.
And that's my last question for you. When you look ahead to free agency, and I know lots can change between now and then, but in the NBA, a lot of the big names do go to free agency just to see what's out there. Do you think Toronto and the fact that they've now, you know, become one of the dominant teams, they've got DeRozan and Lowry, do you think that third big free agent would possibly be interested in coming there?
Well, it's sort of a non-issue right now because they won't have the space. Assuming Lowry comes back and, you know, they'll already be over the cap. If you're thinking a few years in the future, you know, they got a meeting with LaMarcus Aldridge a few years back. That was a big step. And as long as you can get in the room, then you have a chance. I always tend to think that, you know, a trade, which they've set themselves up for decently, or drafting that person are better odds for your non-marquee teams. But you just, and this is Masai Ujiri's plan, right? It's to have this young core build, and as Lowry and DeRozan go slightly past their primes, they stay relevant. And you just keep on staying relevant until you get that opportunity to add another star in whichever way you do it. So if you're hoping it's going to happen this summer, it's not happening in free agency. But I think over time, if they can sustain this level of relevance, whether in the second round, third round, maybe they make a final somehow, then yeah, they can put themselves in that conversation. But that's the hardest leap to make, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I agree with you. Eric, great stuff, man. Look forward to talking to you next Thursday. Have a great Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too.
Eric Kareen from The Athletic.